Our scripture reading this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It's a passage of scripture that a guest on the 25th anniversary Sunday, our guest preacher read for us and preached on. But I have a slightly different message, not different in truth, just different in context. But let's read it together. I'll read it aloud while you read it silently. It's on page 834 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow along. It begins with the heading, Rules for Holy Living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, good humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the Lord add a blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. So tomorrow night, All Hallows Eve, children will be knocking on doors in our neighborhoods, dressed up as someone other than themselves, because that really is the only rule. Make an effort to resemble someone or something else, and you'll get candy. No costume, no candy. And every year at our house, when we're giving out candy, it's been a couple of years because of COVID, but there will be teenagers who will not have costumes on after the initial kids go through, and they'll be like, oh, this is my costume, I'm a teenager. This is my costume, I'm a kid. And I'm like, no, that doesn't count. You have to dress up as something. As I was reading this passage this week, I thought about those trick-or-treaters who take off the old and clothe themselves with the new. But what Paul is communicating here is not about a costume that we might wear for a few hours. In fact, he is saying just the opposite. He is saying that we are to put on character for a lifetime. And that will take more than cutting eye holes in a bed sheet. That'll take more than buying a mask at the Dollar Tree, which is a pretty good deal. You can get a costume for $1 and $1.25, and you can get more than $1.25 in candy if you're a kid. I'm not saying that for you, David. If we are to greet our community with the love and the truth of Christ, it will demand not just that we wear a costume for a moment, but it will demand all we are. And so that's what we want to look at today. There are, in this passage, and I will point them out as we go, there are 9 commands. 9 particular things that we are to do, commanded to do. And I am basing them on 3 different places. The first is, we must let Christ fill our heads. The first 2 commands here are, set your hearts on things above, in verse 1, and set your minds on things above, in verse 2. Set your hearts and your minds on the things above. And literally, this set your heart has nothing to do with the heart. It is the way that God is using to describe passionate seeking. Willful looking. We are to seek out. We are to intentionally look for the things above. Specifically, we are to look for the expressions of Christ who is sitting at God's right hand. By sitting at God's right hand, Paul is saying Jesus is in authority. And where do we see the lordship of Christ? That is what we ought to be setting our hearts or our lives seeking and looking for, where we witness the lordship of Christ. We ought to be setting our minds, verse 2 says, on the things above. Again, specifically saying not to set our minds on the things of the earth, not on earthly things. And it serves as a corrective for chapter 2. You remember in chapter 2, Paul is saying, do not think about human traditions or basic principles. Do not be deceived or be trapped by hollow philosophies based on basic teachings and human traditions. And then do not think about the world culturally as a religious expression. Do not think about the outward physical appearance. But set your minds and seek out the things above. Set yourself on what Christ has done. The remainder of verse 2 and verse 3. He gave you life. You died. Your sin had killed you. You may have been still living, walking around, pretending to be alive, thinking that you were still alive, but you were dead. There was no life in you. But then Christ came and gave you life, a life that is now hidden, a life that is now secure, a life that is now treasured with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That not only are we alive, and not only has he given us refuge, but he has given us victory. Not only do we live, and our life is protected and hidden and safe, but when he is fully enthroned, when we witness his glory and his majesty, we will be with him forever. If we've been raised with Christ, if we know the resurrection power of God, we will be given the ability to think heavenly thoughts. So let us fill our heads with what Christ is, who Christ is, and what Christ has done. He is our Lord and our Savior. Secondly, we must let Christ form our habits. The next command, verse 5. Put to death. Put to death our earthly nature, our pleasing of ourselves. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is adultery. We must cease to indulge in the sins of the flesh. This is what we ought to be stopping in our lives. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. And we do that not as a command, but God instructs us how we are doing this. That we rid ourselves, the next command, to take off, to shed, to throw off all the things that foster inner conflict, anger, rage, malice. This is what we ought to stop thinking. And we're to throw off all the things that foster outward conflict, slander, filthy language. They are the things that we ought to stop saying and expressing. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. Well, as I can do this, that, or the other thing. Because it's not in the list. No, this is an illustrative list. We have things that we ought to stop doing with our bodies. We have things that we ought to stop doing with our minds. We have things that we ought to stop doing with our mouths. Because we ought to rid ourselves or put to death what comes instinctually. Next command, we must not be a fake. We must not lie to each other. And literally what this is saying is, don't be, the Greek word here for lie is pseudome, We get the word, the prefix pseudo, which means fake or imitation. Don't be a pseudo self. Don't lie with your mouth, but don't lie with your behavior. Don't represent yourself as someone that you are not. And that's why Paul goes on to say, not as a command, but as a description, how we do that. Do not lie to others. Don't be fake. Because you have put on the new man, the new creation, the new person, not the new man. I don't want to be gender specific. It's the new person. Because you have become a new creation. Live in that. Not wishing to continue to show your old self, your old nature. We're to take off the old self. We're to put on the new self. Understanding that we have experienced a change in nature. Understanding that we have been renewed in character. So that therefore there is now no distinction other than, are you a new creation or are you not a new creation? New creations come in all shapes, sizes, forms. They speak all different languages. They have all different cultural expressions, and they're all perfectly fine. Paul is not saying here we should not be Jews or Greeks, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarians or Scythians, slave or free. What he is saying is Christ is all. Christ is all. When you became a new creation, you became a follower of Christ in that culture, in that cultural expression that you were born into. Christ is all and Christ is in all. And so we are to live with our new nature and our renewed character. And if we have been raised with Christ, that's how this chapter starts. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. If you've been raised with Christ, if you know the resurrection power of God, then you'll live a godly life. Wherever you are. Thirdly, we must let Christ fulfill our hopes. He must fill our heads, he must form our habits, and he must fulfill our hopes. Therefore, verse 12 says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, is another command. Clothe yourselves. Now, clothes are not you. I know there's an expression, clothes make the person. But really, clothes are not you. They are daily choices. What am I going to wear today? And what Paul is saying here, I believe, is that we are new creations. But we don't always choose to act and look like new creations. And he's asking us, because we have been set apart, because we are experiencing the love of God, to choose compassion, to choose kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, This list is, again, not to be taken as exhaustive, but illustrative. And it's similar to the fruit of the Spirit that Paul describes elsewhere. And what I think Paul is saying here in connection with the fruit of the Spirit, not only do we get to choose what we're going to wear, what we're going to clothe ourselves with, what we look like to others, how others perceive us, because when we get together, we will notice if someone's naked, but we will also notice if someone is wearing something clean or dirty, old or new, pressed or wrinkled. But the Holy Spirit not only enables us to choose and choose wisely, but the Holy Spirit gives us our wardrobe. The fruit of the Spirit are gifts that are given to us. It is who we are, the resources we have. When we follow Christ, not only are we given a new life, but we're given a new wardrobe. And we ought to not wear the old filthy rags that we used to wear, and instead clothe ourselves with the character of a Christian. There are three more commands. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Allow the contentment of Christ to be the arbiter of your outlook. Earlier in chapter 2, he was talking about these false umpires, these false rule makers. And now he is saying, let peace, the peace of Christ, rule, be the arbiter. That we should seek the Jewish shalom, health and wholeness in Christ. The next command, be thankful. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. It is interesting to me, hopefully it's interesting to you, that this seems to be almost a throwaway. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, and upon all these things put on love. Let love be your overcoat. Let peace rule in your hearts. And we're going to get to let the word of God dwell in you richly. Oh, and by the way, be thankful. And I don't know why Paul includes it there and why it's only two words or three words. But it holds things together. This gratitude, this thankfulness for what we have, this appreciation of what God is doing, is what holds things, refocuses us. And perhaps that's why we can't allow the last command, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. All of us are able to share the gospel. The word of God does not dwell richly in a few of us. Some may be called to teach. Some may be called to admonish or to correct. But all of us have a role in it. Just like all of us are not called to be an evangelist, but all of us are called to evangelize. Not all of us are called to be teachers, but we all teach. Teach the word. Let the word come and live in you so that you, when you speak, it will flow out of you. Allow God's grace in Christ to inform your words and your worship. If you've been raised with Christ, if you know the resurrection power of God, then you will have an expectant hope. Because we'll clothe ourselves with what heaven will be like. We'll have the peace of reunion in our hearts. We'll have the gratitude of God, and we will have the Word of God dwelling in us in anticipation of us dwelling with Him. Our sermon in a sentence is this: knowing Christ changes our whole lives. Knowing Christ, identifying with Him in His death and resurrection, doesn't just change our clothes as if we have a Christian costume in our closet for special occasions. No. Knowing Christ as Lord and Savior changes our thinking, our acting, and our living. It transforms our heads, transforms our habits, transforms our hopes. Knowing Christ changes our whole lives. We are commanded to seek and to think and to die and to remove and to not lie and to dress and to let rule and to be thankful and to let dwell. Those are the 9 separate commands of these verses. They are how we are different because we know the cross and its power. And that's why Paul finishes, whatever you do, whatever you do, just think about that for a second. How inclusive that is. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, no matter what you say, and no matter what you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Allow Christ to fill your heads with the things above. Allow Christ to form your habits and put to death the old. Live the new. Clothe yourselves with the wardrobe that the Spirit has given you. And let Christ fulfill your hopes to remind you of what is to come. Let Him rule your hearts. Let Him give you an attitude of gratitude. Let His word dwell in you richly. Head, habit, heart, hope. Knowing Christ changes our whole lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth of Your scripture. We ask that You would help us to live as new creations. Help us to think about the things of above and not to dwell on earthly things. Help us not to be fake, but rather to be focused on returning reunion with You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.